Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics every single week. We will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Okay, first, as we're doing this series, because the Lord really put my heart, we are going to build the living stones, which is each of us, amen, into what God has for us, because that's the season we're in. And we're going to do it based on the apostles, amen? So I want real apostolic teaching. So to get real apostolic teaching, I'm going to read what the apostles taught, amen? And so I want us to look at Ephesians. Tuesday night, we're doing Peter. So we talked about Peter. So this is the first time we've talked about Paul. Now, when you read these letters from Paul, you need to recognize a little bit about Paul, amen? And just giving a little overview, Paul was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was basically a scholar in his day. He knew everything the Jewish people believed, the Israelites, and he was a very strict follower of Jewish law, very strict follower of the law. He was very esteemed. He was seen as very important. And when he heard these, what we call Christians, when he heard these people called the Way, talking about Jesus, this man Jesus as the Messiah, he was furious, okay, furious. And that religious spirit on him, that when he was, before in the Old Covenant, it was fine how he believed. In the Old Covenant, it was fine, you know, that he was so respected among the Jewish people, amen? But now that there was change, and now that God was doing something new, and now that the Messiah had come, Paul wanted no part of it. He did not believe it. And he was so legalistic, he would try to prove that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. And he got so, you never see anything in his life spoken of before his introduction that would make you think he was a murderer. There was like nothing in his life. This rage in him because of legalism. Legalism can cause you to get really angry if people aren't doing things the way you think they should be done. And it can cause you to get really angry at yourself and miss the whole idea of Holy Spirit in us, working in us and changing us. Amen? So I want you to understand Paul a little bit. So once Paul decided that he was so angry about this, the enemy was really able to get into Paul's heart and to stir him against any follower of Jesus Christ, to the place where he began to have them murdered. He got permission to have them murdered, and he would watch them murdered. It doesn't say specifically he ever personally killed any of them that I could find, but he literally stood there and ordered their execution and ordered their imprisonment. He was a big enemy to the church. He was a major enemy to the church. Isn't it amazing that God would use him as the one to write the most? He penned the most letters to the church. What a church that would be able to walk so close to God that they could forgive this man and separate him from the sin of persecuting the church and murdering probably even some of their family members and things. Isn't it amazing? I mean, when they really were convinced by the Holy Spirit and what he was preaching and what he said and the power he walked in with Christ and his close relationship with Christ, once they saw that, they were able to recognize he was a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? All things became old. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. When God comes in, he changes everything. Amen? And when God comes in a person's life, we have to recognize that change, and we have to agree with God about it. That's why it doesn't really matter, seriously, what a politician did before Christ. What matters is what they do after Christ. Amen? And that's for everyone. And we have to have that kind of mercy. We've got to have that kind of mercy. But we need to look for fruit too. Amen? Not for politicians. They don't have to be Christians. But I'm talking about before someone claims to be a Christian and preaches the Word of God and makes doctrine and changes things, especially like what we saw Paul do, there needs to be a lot of fruitfulness. Amen? And humility and lifting up Jesus Christ. So I say all that to give you an idea. Here is this person who you can read about in the book of Acts and throughout other scriptures, because he wrote a lot of them, but mainly the book of Acts, and really see this person that God chose to be one of his. There's a couple of things with Paul that's cool. First of all, Paul's another new move of God. Like I said, when the Lord came and told that he rose from the dead and gave that message to a woman, God set women free. Amen? And God started something brand new to the church that the church still today has a hard time with. And then when you see, just different things in Scripture, but when you see Paul being converted and being an apostle, you actually see, oh, they didn't have to be someone who was actually taught by Jesus Christ personally while he lived in the flesh on the earth. Paul had encounters with Jesus and became an apostle outside of the organized Christian church. Amen? That's a major shaking and change in the church. Amen? Even today, people would have a hard time with that one. So I just want you to see God loves to shake up everything that needs to be shaken. This is all about following him, being led by him. So when we see Paul here, you kind of get this idea. Paul had was killing them. They were against him. And then God promoted him to such a position of authority that even the apostles really recognized him and listened to him. And he was able to rebuke. Paul's the one who rebuked Peter when Peter was being a little bit hypocritical about some things. And here's Paul, and you didn't hear that. You didn't hear Peter say, "Who do you think you are? You used to kill Christians, and you didn't go to seminary with Jesus like we did." There was such a reverence and fear of the Lord, and a revelation of who God was using in the early church that has to be come back to the church, right? And it's going to happen when people start seeing the fruit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, patience, the power of God, the word being preached with power, signs, and wonders. And all this is going to be restored in the apostolic, I believe. And so we haven't seen this yet. So I want everybody to start to envision a church that has power again, like we've never seen. A church where the people are full of the Spirit of God and able to go through anything and have such unity by the Spirit of God. Amen? Okay, so here we go. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. The only apostles I want to ever listen to or recognize as apostolic are those who are there by the will of God. Amen? To the saints, those who are in Ephesians, the faithful church in Christ Jesus. So he's speaking to everyone who's faithful in the church in this letter and those in Ephesians. He's speaking to those people. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk a whole lot about that because you could talk about grace with teaching on grace. I define grace as, of course, you can't earn it. You can't earn anything that we get from God. Amen? But grace is God's own power to bring us into the promises that he gives us, to give us everything. It's like his essence of his presence and his power that you cannot earn. It's his favor that he brings into your life so that you can have the promises that he gives you. Amen? So that you can fulfill his will. So grace is a big deal. I mean, grace is a really big deal. And he's praying that on people. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to pray for people, pray grace and peace over their life. Pray grace and peace over your life. Really go to your homes and walk around your homes and get in the anointing and say, "I just release peace and grace in this house. There's going to be grace in this house." Pray for grace and peace over your children. Pray for grace and peace over your spouse, over your workplace, over your environment where you walk in. Just start expecting grace and peace to be there from our Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ. All right? This is so powerful. This is truth. We are living stones. We're going to get this. Amen. Blessed is the God. Let me do it in Amplified. Some people just really like hearing Amplified. Okay. Blessed and worthy of praise is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Our Father, our God, our Lord is blessed. He lives a blessed life. Blessed can be lack of, no lack. Our God has no lack. Our God has no needs. When people say, well, God needs us, no, he doesn't. It's very clear he doesn't need us. He almost destroyed everybody before. And he wasn't worried that he was going to be destroyed in the process. Amen? Our God has no needs. Our God is extremely blessed. Amen? He's extremely prosperous. He has everything going for him. Amen? Our God has absolutely everything going for him. Everything good came from him, belongs to him, and describes him. All right? So blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He blesses us. Who? I want you to say you. He blesses you. He blesses me. Everybody say, he blesses me. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ. Okay. How many realize that's a loaded proclamation? Amen? That is a loaded proclamation. You need to ask God things like, okay, since it says in your word that I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ, I need to know what those are. I want to know what those are. I want my blessings. The Bible says you ask, you only receive when you ask. This is a kingdom principle. I have to ask, seek, and knock. I have to literally go after the things of God. If you've got ambition in the world, like if you get a job and you get in and you're the new kid in the job and you have worldly ambition, right? You are going to find out everything you can. You are going to work the system every way you can if you're ambitious, right? If you have a desire to get a position that's higher, you are going to work your way through the system, through that system, right, to find favor, right? Well, why do we take our Christianity so laid back? Now, we're not manipulating, but God has set this up that if you seek me, you're going to find me. If you knock, I'm going to answer. If you ask, I'm going to talk with you. We have a God who wants our participation in this thing. Amen? Does everybody get that? We have a God who wants us to participate in this. And most people, seriously, don't even act as if he wants to participate. They just want to ask him for stuff when they need it. But there's no participation going on. If you want to grow in God, if you want to be that powerful, actually, you're just going to have joy, people. You're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to have love. It's just going to flow out of you. You're going to have faith. It's all going to happen, but it happens when I choose to participate with God in a relationship that he died to give me. You think about it. God created us in his image and likeness in such a way, and what he put in us, in our emotions, what he put in us, in our souls, what he put in us, in every area of our life, even pleasure, everything that he created, he did all of that with the intentions that we would hang out with him and participate in a relationship with him. That's why we're different than dogs. That's why we're different than cats. That's why we're different than anything else. That's why human beings have a level of integrity just being born in the image of God. Amen? That's why they are the enemy. That's why the enemy, Satan, hates human beings, because they are born in the image of God. He basically sees God's image in every person, and he hates that, because he has been cast out and he's eternally damned, and he wants to see how many people made in God's image he can hurt and destroy. And so when you recognize this is all real, that we were actually a forethought of God, knitted together in our mother's womb with the intention to have a relationship with God. You were born for God's good pleasure. You were born to have a relationship with God. Every single person was born for one thing, to have a relationship with God. And if they would say yes to that relationship, and walk in that relationship, to the more that you participate and walk in that relationship, the more you're going to taste of these spiritual blessings. Amen? The more you're going to enjoy your life. You were created to enjoy life with God. You were not created to enjoy anything without him. And Satan makes sure of it, but so does this. Life is empty without God. Life is empty without God. It's supposed to be empty without God. We were created with the intentions of a powerful creator that he would have a people who would have a real relationship with him. They would talk to him. They would feel his presence. They would worship him. They would go to him for counsel. They would go to him just to have conversation. They would enjoy him. And he fulfilled this purpose when he sent his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, because that is God in us, the hope of glory. That is God inside of us so that we can have this relationship, not dependent on other people like the priesthood of the old covenant, not dependent on just rules and regulations, but a real relationship with the real God. There is no one more blessed than people who have been born after the cross, who find God. Amen? There's no one more blessed than you. There's no one more blessed than Phelps and the orphans in India that have found God. There's no one more blessed than those even suffering extreme persecution in Pakistan who have found God. There is nothing that compares on this earth to having a relationship with God. And we need to get religion out of it so people can understand how blessed they are. Amen? When you think blessed and you just think money, there's something wrong with your thinking. You're serving the wrong God. When I think blessed, I think of peace that passes understanding. I think of a God who holds my hand and walks me through everyday life. I think of a God who's real to me, who talks to me, who uses his word to inspire me and to show me and to teach me. I think of a God who has a real personality that I love being with. Whoa, that's blessed. That's a spiritual blessing, and it's available to everyone. But there is no relationship for anyone if you don't pursue a relationship. Amen? So when he says here this truth, and he's writing this to this particular church that's so in love with him, but it's also a church that he's also writing this letter to the faithful church. This letter is to the faithful church. Now, everybody can be part of the faithful church because you can choose to start being faithful. Amen? Faithful to spending time with him. Faithful to making him a priority. Faithful to wanting a relationship with him. And if the enemy has damaged you or hurt you where you are hands off to relationships, go talk to your Heavenly Father about it and ask Holy Spirit to heal that. If you've been brought up in a, especially men, don't be feely touchy and all this stuff. Well, I want you to be masculine, and I want you to be how God created you to be, thank God. And you can look at scripture and see that. If you want to see what the perfect man looks like, go look at Jesus. Amen. He cried. He didn't cry all the time. He cried some. He was full of compassion. He wasn't afraid of anything. He went after, the religious people. He was strong. Amen. He was strong to obey God and do what God told him. You can't read the true scriptures and see Jesus as an Ahab. You cannot read the true scriptures and see him as weak. He's not this marshmallow kind of Jesus. He's a really manly. When he took on flesh, he became, he demonstrated manhood. Amen? With its tenderness and with its practicalness, I mean, Jesus is the one who said, hey, you guys, I'll leave and I'll feed everybody. His servant heart with his rebukes. He wasn't trying to make everybody love him. He was going to say what he needed to say. Amen? So I encourage all the men. Women, we go read it to see how awesome Jesus is and this bridegroom king. Men, go read Jesus. Go read the Gospels to see what it looks like to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be a powerful man of God. Just to be a powerful man. Sometimes we say of God, everything's always talking about ministry. No, just be a powerful man because God lives in you. Be what he created you to be. And there's a lot of different personalities with that. That's all fine. We all reveal a little bit of God. But there's so, hunger would say, I want to see what that looks like. So we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ. In the heavenlies with Christ, to me, would also represent, I have blessings to do spiritual warfare. I can activate the heavenly realm. I can change environments. I can stop the enemy. I can stop storms when the Lord shows me that the enemy's behind that storm. I can cry out to God when he's behind the storm. There is authority and power in the heavenly realm as we walk with God, if we're faithful. If we're this faithful church he's talking to, if we're the faithful church he's talking to, then I have authority and I have power in the heavenlies. Why? Because Holy Spirit lives in me, and Holy Spirit is okay with me protecting those things he's given me authority to protect. Amen? Holy Spirit is okay with me reusing the power that God has given me for divine protection from the enemy. Judgment is stopped because I get my heart right with God. Amen? The enemy is stopped because I know who he is, and God has given me authority over him as he's given to every believer who walks with God and understands that. Amen? So I'm not dependent upon the world's way of handling things. Amen? I'm not dependent upon that. I really believe in binding the enemy. Amen? I don't ever want to be tested. I've been tested before. We had somebody come into a meeting with a trench coat and probably a gun years ago, and we had a pretty big crowd at this meeting. I'm, of course, standing up on a chair like a maniac, and they're yelling that they're Lucifer. They're yelling that they're Satan. I told them not to. What did I say? I said, "Oh, you're not that bad. Don't flatter yourself or something." But anyway, my legs were shaking. I was like, "Oh my God, what are we doing here?" And then we took authority. Everybody started singing and worshiping, and we bound it. And this man went flown. He got basically thrown back into the wall, hit the wall, slid down the wall, looked around because angels did it. He knew something grabbed him and threw him back, and he ran out that door. Amen? Do I want to be tested again? No, but do I have pretty much confidence that I have a God who's big enough to take care of things? Amen? But we better know our spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, because that's a spiritual blessing in the heavenly, because I had to do the warfare in the heavenly realm. Amen? That wasn't a natural warfare. That was a heavenly blessing in the heavenlies. How many know we need to have that kind of faith? We need to be faithful. We need that kind of relationship with the true God, and recognize we are living in a day where people are actually dying, the Bible says, just from terror and fear. We never heard the word terror so much as we have since 9/11, at least in our nation. And it's funny that the word terror is one of the words in Scripture quite a bit when it talks about the end days. And so I like that spiritual blessing. It'd be nice. I'm thankful when I get to heaven I don't need it. Amen? But I'm thankful to have it now. I'm thankful that we can hear God if we're sensitive and pray and intercede and stop tragedy when the enemy's behind it. Amen? Amen? That we can recognize what's going on when the enemy attacks us with sickness or disease, and we can intercede and pray, and he loses. Amen? These are spiritual blessings that we have in the heavenly realm in Christ. I encourage us to read Scripture. When you read the Scriptures, don't try to see how fast you can read it. Start looking for these spiritual laws. Start looking for these blessings in the heavenlies. Like, whoa, look what Peter did. Well, if Peter can do that, I can do that. I have the same God inside me. People, the exact same God that raised Jesus from the dead, the exact same Holy Spirit power, this is in Scripture, that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us as a spiritual blessing. Amen? Ho, what a spiritual blessing. That same Jesus, that same Holy Spirit raises you up from the attacks of the enemy. Every time. If you are having a real relationship with a real God. Amen? Okay. Even as he elected us in him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. Whoa. Okay, what is this showing us? Before God ever created the world, he had this all planned out. He had the plan of the old covenant to show how hard it is to live under legalism, to show that he's always going to have a people that know him no matter what happens on the earth, and then that there would come the day that every prophet looked for and prophesied about, and every scripture in the old covenant pointed to, and it was the day of the Messiah. There was going to come a day when God himself would come on this planet in human form, whoa, and deliver us from Satan's domain. Amen. We're on the other side of that. Amen. We're on the other side of that. And we, I think Christians, no, if you're not born again, you're not a Christian. Okay. It's just that simple. What you may have God in you and not call it born again, and you're still born again. You know what I'm saying? But God has to live inside of you. That is what makes you a new creation in Christ. That is what makes you God's child. That is what gets you into heaven. Amen. That is your passport. And you're not going across, you're not climbing over any walls. Amen. You're going in the narrow way, which is in Christ. That's the only way you're going to get in. Amen. And so we need to recognize what a spiritual blessing it is that I have all spiritual blessings. My all spiritual blessings really come down to Holy Spirit lives inside of me. That's why he can boldly say, you have all spiritual blessings. Well, I never did that. I never did. If Holy Spirit lives in you, you have the capability to walk into every single spiritual blessing you've ever seen in Scripture. Amen. We need to get this. God lives inside of us. Well, the doctor said this. Okay, but what does God in his word say? And why can I believe God's word over that? Intellectually, I can't. But when I recognize I have all spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing. And I know that Jesus is a healer. And I know that I can go all the way back to the old covenant and watch the group with Moses go through the wilderness for all those years and no one was sick. I can know that I know in the new covenant, it's going to be greater than that. I can walk in divine health. And yes, I'm going to have to be led by the Spirit and what I eat and exercise and do those kind of things. But this is a reality for me. Amen. But I'm going to participate with God. I feel like this message should be called, we need to participate with God. We need to participate. That's not fear-based, just so you know it. When I'm doing things in fear, I'm participating with the devil, with a religious spirit. Whoa. When I'm doing things in fear based on condemnation and works, I'm actually participating with the devil, and it's called religion. Amen? But when I participate with God, I have to do it based on who he is, and that's faith. I have to do everything with the revelation of God's ability. And get rid of this false doctrine that says, well, if God wants to, read his word and see what he wants to. Amen? People who say, well, if God wants to, won't take the time to read his word to see what he wants to. I remember like a kid, when I was first getting into the word really strong, and Donna and Ron's son Drew was born. And the doctors gave him no hope, people, no hope of living. I mean, none. And I went in. God gave me a prophecy. One of the first prophecies I ever had, I wrote it down, and it was some scripture about Drew living. And I was so excited, so I called Donna. I said, I didn't know anything back then. You know, part of that's fun. If you're really hungry for God and going after God, this was before I went through tragedy, people. Okay, I didn't just get on fire for God when I went through tragedy. The truth is, we would have had a different outcome as a family had I not been going after God before that. Amen? So going after God doesn't necessarily stop all the assignments of the enemy, but God will get you through them. Amen? And it's a process. A relationship takes time to grow, and it can get stale and old if you're not participating in it. Amen? You have to participate in relationships. If you're real close to someone, whether it's your spouse, one of your children, both of your children, all of your children, whether you're real close to a sister, one sister, not another sister, a brother, a mother, a father, I promise you, it's because you are participating in that relationship in a way that brings enjoyment, not bondage and codependency. That doesn't make a good relationship, and God won't have one of those relationships with you. Amen? Before he ever made the world, he had this all figured out. How creative is God? How creative is God is to have all those thousands of years of fights and wars and crazy people, and then this is one little chosen group of people. Aren't you thankful you weren't back then? And if you were, wouldn't you hope you were one of the chosen people? But maybe when he went down and preached in hell, it says, during those 3 days in the grave, maybe some of those accept him. I don't know how that works. I just know God is just. Amen? I just know God is just. We might all be surprised. Because he said he went down and preached the gospel to them. He's faithful and just. Don't worry about how fair God is. He's beyond fair. Amen? He's good. The thing about a relationship with somebody, it's not about what can I get from them. If you get saved and you don't develop a relationship with God, you got saved because you want to see what you could get from him. And you stay an infant. You're tossed every which way. Nobody can tell you're a Christian. The Bible says, and you're still saved. Thank God, because he's faithful even when we're not. How good is he? But you're missing it. You're just missing it. You're missing these spiritual blessings that are reality that bring great joy. They don't prevent bad things, but they surely do help you grab onto a real God and have a real relationship and him walk you through. Which actually, if you know truth, makes you closer to him. Before the foundation of the world, he already knew what he was going to do. Before the foundation of the world, he already saw us and he already knew my spirit's going to live in this crew. If we are in the, I believe we're in the last days. Most people believe that now. We don't know what part of the last days. But if we're here now and these are entering to the last days, right? We were chosen to live in this time. We were chosen to live in a time when God was going to reveal his spirit in such a powerful way. Amen? And we need to quit thinking life is just kind of hit and miss and whatever happens. And no, God, if God knew from the foundation of the world that he was going to have a people holy without blemish before him in love. Look at this. Look, God, oh, don't you love God? He knew, I'm going to have this long, to him a day is 1,000 years. So to God, it's been like 6 days. Like we're in a week here. You talk about time being fast or slow or however you say. Boy, time is fast if 1,000 years a day. You think time's fast here? Wait till we get to heaven. If 1,000 years is like a day, heaven's going to be packed, right? Heaven's going to be packed out with stuff going on. Amazing. So before the foundations of the world, he knew there was going to be a people who would get to the place in their relationship with him and participating with him that they would be holy without blemish. So don't be upset that we do a Tuesday night going on 20-some years of sanctification and we deal with issues and we help people separate the enemy from the people hurting them and we help people get lies out and we look. And what have we been doing? Apostolic teaching before it's season in the body of Christ. Amen? Because God's idea was, before the foundation of the world, I saw you, and put your name there, I saw you without spot or blemish. I saw you holy. I saw you with the absence of evil. Remember, holy is the absence of evil. In other words, holy is the absence of anything that God didn't make, that God didn't come up with, of anything perverted. Satan can't invent anything, but he perverts things. When something becomes perverted, it's unholy. Sex outside of marriage is unholy. It's perverted. Thinking that you're a gender that God does not even recognize as a gender is perverted. It's unholy. Amen? Being a drunkard is unholy. Amen? I'm not talking about fake holy where you act all fake holy. I'm not talking about self-righteousness where you judge everybody and look at behavior and all this. I'm talking about a sincere absence within you of perversion. A sincere absence within you of things that are unholy because you're holy because he's holy. And from the foundation of the world, think of this. And he like the days 1,000 years to him. He's like, we're going to do that. There's going to be all this rough stuff where we just set up the law and have people who recognize the law and try to live in that law to give a small representation. But they're going to be so waiting for a Messiah. Everything the prophets are going to do are going to point to a Messiah. They're going to want a Messiah to come and rescue them. But then the Messiah is going to come. But because they're looking at things from a worldly view, they're going to miss him. A lot of them are going to miss him. They're going to hang on to their religion and their rules and their regulations and thinking they're superior because they follow the rules, that they're going to miss the one who came to bring them into the kingdom of God. But there will be a people, and it'll be a lot of them from another people who were Gentile people, which is most of us, and those people are going to recognize the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're going to get saved, and it's going to make those people who were supposed to recognize the Messiah jealous. for what it looks like to have God living inside of you. And from the foundation of the world, God said, this is going to conclude with the people who are holy. This is going to come to such a place, we'll call them the bride. Ho! It's going to get to such a place that they're going to want to be holy because God is holy. They're going to want to live the way God lives, not in their brains, but in their hearts. And they're going to rejoice in getting the evil out because Satan loses all his authority and power. And the people who cry and go through depression and the people who have such problem with anger, these are people who will not let God near their hearts to make them holy. And they're the ones who keep blaming God because they won't stop and see, no, he did everything he's going to do. He sent his son to die for us. He sent his own spirit to live in us. And now you've got to agree with his spirit and he will make you holy. And to do that, you're going to have to face all the fears in your life. You're going to have to face all the lies in your life. You're going to have to face all the cultural garbage. You cannot stay a victim if God lives in you. Period. Amen? You can't. You are the most blessed people with all spiritual blessings. Amen? What do you want? Do you want a ton of money or do you want all spiritual blessings? Who's your God? You cannot serve God and money. The Bible says so. You will love one and cling. You will love one and hate the other. You will cling to one and despise the other. That's a reality. Who are you serving? Do you want the spiritual blessings or do you want the worldly blessings? Now, the spiritual blessings will bring better than the worldly blessings. But don't confuse them because of wrong doctrine. I do not feel sad for the people in India that when I see, they have joy, they have peace, they have goodness, they have kindness, they're happy, they don't have as many clothes, their rooms aren't as big, they don't have the transportation we have necessarily, but they have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And God feeds them and they're taken care of. Even if he has to find somebody all the way across the world to do it, he will find somebody all the way across the world to do it if we will open our hearts to spiritual blessings. Amen. We're going to get another orphanage this year. Amen. Let's do another orphanage this year. We are going to go and support another orphanage this year. Amen. Let's ask God to show us where. Let us show us how. We're already helping with Nilo does a lot with orphans and kids there. They're not in orphanages, but they're basically orphans that just sleep there and he takes care of them. We totally take care of the needs in India for 45 children and 15 widows, I think it is. And the building and everything. And yeah, they still need other food, but they need to have faith. Lord told me a long time ago, we messed up at First and Fullest. We paid everything. They became lazy. They became idolaters. And then when God said, pull it, they're like mad as anything at me because all of a sudden they don't have everything paid for because you're not growing in God and hungry for God. You're quitting good jobs instead of taking the money we're giving you to advance the kingdom, but keeping your jobs and quitting your jobs, buying cars, doing this, doing that, all this stuff that makes you look American, not led by the Spirit of God. And Lord's like, take it. We've been to places where we gave a lot of money. They used us so bad. Some of them didn't, but some did. And then when the Lord surprised us, we went back to one orphanage we were taking care of. We did exactly what God told us. We were giving $5,000 a month. That's so much for this church. We're going to build back up to that, just so you know. You see all these empty seats? They're going to be filled. Amen? They're going to be filled because there's going to be people who are ready to be built up into living stones. Amen? And we've gone through a shaking, and God's got a core group of people who made it through. Amen? Who love him, and every bill's been paid, and we never quit taking care of orphanages. We've never quit preaching the gospel on the radio. We've never quit going to the nations, and we're actually reaching thousands and thousands of people every week now that God's given us a way to do it. How cool is God? You know why that happens? You know why we're able to reach 29 to 30 some thousand people a week? Because we don't look at money to do it. We look at God to do it. And God gave me a strategy from heaven that's doing it that it would have taken tons of money to do. How cool is God? What are you looking at, people? Get your eyes on all spiritual blessings. Recognize the bigness of God who started this before the foundation with his desire that by the end of this, there was going to be a holy people without spot or blemish. You become that holy person without spot or blemish. The devil can't even give you a bad day, but you can give him a horrible nightmare. Amen? It's not a little teaching. Why do they do that every week? And why are they so? Yeah, well, if you're looking at it the wrong way and you're just trying to I don't know what you're trying to do, but if you're looking at it like, I have a holy God and I want to be holy. And then you realize, oh my gosh, as I become holy, Satan loses his authority to make me sick. He loses his authority to ruin my marriage. He loses his authority to take away. He loses his authority. How does he lose his authority? Because what he had in me is gone. It's not a little teaching. It is an apostolic main building stone that we need to bring back to the church. And the church looks like the world because the church just got into too much of her own doctrine to recognize what God's intention was. Right here in Ephesians, before he's going to tell us about marriage in here as we go along, he's going to tell us about parenting, all these different things he's going to tell us, right? As we go along, first he's setting the stage to say, I want your eyes focused on spiritual blessings. I want your eyes focused that I have promised you all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. From the foundation of the world, you were elected to be alive right now. From the foundation of the world, we were the ones elected, to live holy without blemish before him in love. It's his love in us, his love poured out of us that makes you want to get free from everything perverted. It makes you want to get, that's why when people were here that God's had removed from here who wanted to hang on to pornography and they wanted to hang on to horrible music and they wanted to hang on to lying and sleeping around and drugs, they're not here anymore. God has cleaned this house. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Because he gives everybody a chance to come in and make decisions. And you can go to any big church anywhere and find people who live just like the world and they think it's okay, but they're going to stand before God and we'll see what happens when they do. But my thing is, I hope they all still save. But here's the bottom line, they're not going to live the overcoming, powerful life that God has. They're not going to shine in this dark age. How can you go and shine when you know you have more secret garbage going on than the person you're trying to witness to? You just don't find it in scripture, because God did not write the scriptures with the how to barely get in crowd. Maybe they're infants, maybe they'll get in, maybe they won't. How many know we can know and rest assured because our heart is to belong to God, to live in those spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, amen, and to be holy because he is holy. I want to encourage anybody, if you still have sin that you hang on to, just don't leave with it today. Just, it's not worth it. What's it worth? Amen? And I'm not just talking this. I'm talking people be watching this all over the world, because we are really getting ready to get that mentoring to pastors. The third world nations will get to see all this for free. And as soon as we're big enough and God gives us enough finances, we'll have it all translated into their languages. Amen? They probably need to speak slower so their translators can do this, but they'll need that gift of interpretation. We'll believe that. Okay, he predestined us, who? Us, to adoption through Jesus Christ to himself. Let me look up that word adoption. Okay, the word adoption is really not the correct word there. I heard this taught and it's true. The word is the placing of a son. We have God's spirit in us, you guys. We're new creation. So it's not like we're adopted like we don't belong in this family. What he is really saying there, we have been placed as sons and daughters of God. I heard a really good teaching on this that made me look it up myself. The placing as a son. See, if we don't understand that we are born again, okay, adoption isn't born again, right? Right? Born again is I have a new nature. I have the nature of my Father God. I don't have the nature of the devil. I'm not adopted in like, come on in with all your devil nature. No, I'm actually a new creation. All things are new. This is a whole different thing. This is a whole different thing. I don't have to keep thinking about my old nature. That old man is dead. Amen? And now I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the truth is, I have been placed as a son or daughter. He uses the word son to mean children. He uses the word bride for men and women being close to God. God's not all about gender when it comes to spiritual things. There's no male or female in the spirit. Amen? So when he says, look, I am placing sons and daughters. So he says, we were predestined to be placed as a son or daughter through Jesus Christ to himself. God already knew that he was going to come and die for sons and daughters, real sons and daughters, with his nature in them. The same, and look how real it is. Jesus himself, when he took on flesh, right? He showed us what human flesh, what a man with God inside of him was like, right? And now he says, now that's what you are. Now, if you can't be more his son or daughter than to have a human body with his nature, his spirit in you. Amen? So I want to break off thinking I'm just somebody. And adoption's awesome, and praise God for adoption, and be praying for Ryan and Nicole are now really seriously trying to adopt. And there's some other people been with our church in the past who are trying to adopt. And thank God for adoption. We could do stories about adoption with Moses. Joseph took on Jesus as his, really as adoption in that sense. And even Mary, if she was more of a surrogate, which is what I believe, they kind of were the adoptive parents. They didn't have the same nature as their son. But let me tell you something, people. When you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have been placed as a son in the kingdom of God. Whoa! And he places you there by putting his spirit in you. So you are different. You are different from someone who has not been placed in the kingdom. And you need to recognize it. You need to recognize it. Your spirit is alive. It wasn't alive before. Your spirit is alive. Start understanding that this is spiritual, and you want your spirit alive in Christ. Amen? All right. Predestined us to be placed as his sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was God's good pleasure. God's like, I want them, these human beings that we made in our likeness and image, I'm going to pay this horrific price so that my spirit can live in them and they will be placed as sons and daughters in our kingdom. And it says it gave God good pleasure. He's like, this is great. This is going to be awesome. That was the pleasure that was before him that held him on that cross. Don't you think we should have as much revelation of the pleasure of God living in us and God being our Father as he has for what he paid for to make it real? We have to participate in this, people. I'm not talking about participate in church works. I'm talking about participating in a relationship with God. Amen? If I participate in a relationship with God, I'm going to want to be here when the doors are open. I'm going to want to be a part of the worship team if I can do that and worship God. I'm going to want to help the young people know God. I'm going to want, you know what's going to be the greatest thing for this particular little body of people? To get free from works for the sake of works and enter into participating with God and then letting him pour out of us, out of relationship with him. And the desire to do that, the desire to make a phone call when it's really time to go to bed, to talk to someone who hasn't even shown you a lot of warmth for a long time and even hurt you in the past, but to do what God wants you to do for their glory and their purposes. Amen? For his glory, to help them, to rescue them, to minister to them. And you know what? Until you recognize who God is and the spiritual blessings, you stay so self-focused. But when you get free and you recognize who you are from God's perspective, you become God-focused. And when you become God-focused, it is so different than self-absorbed and self-focused. Amen? He favored us. It goes on and says, to the praise of the glory of his grace in which he favored us in the one having been loved, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound towards us in all wisdom and understanding. This is so packed. Have y'all noticed that in most of these letters we've done so far, they start out really talking about the cross, really talking about redemption? These apostles wrote letters to people who have heard the preaching for years, and they wrote them in such a way to make sure that the foundational understanding of who Jesus Christ is, what he's done, being born again, of the Spirit, and the need for sanctification is a priority to every believer being ministered to as the body of Christ. Amen? And we should never get tired of hearing it. Amen. We should never get tired of hearing it and want some new itchy ear thing. No, I am so thankful and grateful to the cross. I am so thankful and grateful that Jesus Christ, seriously, no kidding about it, redeemed me by, and it cost him his blood and his life, that he took away my sins, that would have separated me from God. Forever separated, no matter how good a life I lived, no matter if I never drank, never smoked, never did anything evil in the eyes of man, my heart would be wrong, and in the eyes of God, I could not enter into his presence. Amen? We all need the blood. There is no entrance into the things of God, into the spiritual blessings, without a revelation and a true gratefulness that Jesus Christ died for my sins. You know, when I was talking to this person I shared earlier last night, I said, don't you understand? If Jesus hadn't paid that horrific cost, if he hadn't gone to hell for us, if he hadn't suffered and was humiliated and abused for us, we would never see our children again. And as it is, I get to see my daughter, and I'm believing my sons are definitely going to get in the kingdom, and I believe they're in the kingdom, and people I love. That's the main thing we're here for, to get everybody saved, people. If you want anything eternal in 100 years, what's worth something in 100 years? The people you love. Amen? And then we're going to live in this perfect place. Come visit down here for 1,000 years. But you know what I'm saying? God, this is all about God bringing a family together, and all these things that come up against us is so that we will make those decisions. Who am I going to serve? Who am I going to love? How am I going to live? Thank you for his blood. Thank you. Without the blood of Jesus, no person would ever have eternity with God or with each other. That's how powerful the message of salvation is. Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.